We're back on Canuck Central here in the Mobile Kintec studio at the Vancouver Aquarium as we get set tonight for the Prairie Naturals Men's Health Gala here. And Trevor Linden is going to join us a little bit later on. And we've had a squirrel that's become a part of the show here today as well as we sit here in the courtyard.
Getting braver and braver and closer and closer.
It's like, hey, little buddy, I don't have any food for you. I'm sorry.
No, I only have a protein bar.
The fish, they're in sights, and maybe we'll take a gander a little bit later on. But for now, we've got work to do, and Landon Ferraro is joining us as he does weekly here on Canucks Central. Thanks for this, Landon. How are you?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing pretty well. You know, this is it's kind of the we're waiting on Rick Tocchet news, but haven't got yet. But we do have Canucks playoff news, and that is they won in Abbotsford last night. I understand you were at the game, 4-3 victory, and you know this team just keeps on humming under Manny Malhotra.
They really do, and the speed that the Abbey Canucks played, especially the first two periods, with was really impressive, and Tucson is, you know, is Utah's team, and you know, like, they had a lot of trouble trying to, you know, handle a puck every time they touched it. There was another Abbey player there either to hit him or stick on puck, and you know, they got rolling really well, and you know, it ended up being a really good game. But you know, again, the speed of Abbey was really evident last night.
Well, and that's something that, you know, we want to see translate to the big club coming up here at some point. But, you know, we talked about this quite a bit down the stretch, that there were 11 rookies who played for the Canucks, and now 10 of those are back down playing for Abbey. And, you know, it's kind of funny, isn't it, seeing all those Canuck players on the big team playing in Abbey back again?
Yeah, it really is. And it you know, it kind of brought me back to when I was in the American League, and you know, you're kind of waiting to see what would happen with your big club, to see what guys would be coming down. And you know, it's exciting when you get that, you know, big help, especially when, you know, you're talking Abbotsford, that, you know, was so hot coming down the stretch and an amazing 13 game winning streak and all that. Then you're adding all this, you know, talent, and you know, like Mancini last night was all over the ice, and like his skating looks so powerful. It's amazing how, like, the American League's a very good league, and yet, like, it's still not the NHL, right? And he gets back down there, and he's possessing the puck. He's playing the body. But not only that, like, there's one play in the second period that, you know, he makes a really nice defensive play right in front of his own net, and before you know it, he's the third or fourth man joining the rush and gets a really good shot from the center of the slot. So, I mean, like, seeing those guys go back down and playing with confidence was, you know, it's good to see.
And Linus Karlsson scored last night. You know, we talked so much about how his season ended so strong with the big club, and it looked like he was putting his name on a potential roster spot with the big team next year. Has he carried that confidence down in Abbotsford?
100% he has. And, like, yes, he gets the goal, and that's great, but the rest of his game, it wasn't like that was the only thing that was noticeable. Like, every time that he was on the ice, he was involved physically. He generally would end up with the puck on his stick and moving around. He skated well. He was making plays. It was a good night for him. Like, the goal was pretty amusing to watch. The Canucks had so much pressure, and they had held Tucson, the full line got caught in their own end for at least a minute and a half, almost 2 minutes, and he comes over the blue line and absolutely hammers one over the far pad under the glove. But, you know, he looks confident, and again, like, you know, I always go back to the first time I watched him in person was when he got called up for the playoffs last year for the couple games, and just seeing a young player, you know, getting pushed off pucks quite a bit and trying to figure that out, to what we saw when he was up with Vancouver and what I saw in Abbotsford last night. Like, he's not just taken a step, he's taken multiple this year.
Yeah, it's been impressive, and looking forward to seeing what he looks like in camp next year, and really might be able to force his way onto the team. You know, a player we saw get sent down, and I know there's a lot of conversation about his ice time, was Jonathan Lekromäki. I know since going back down, he hasn't really lit up the scoreboard, but how did he look to you last night?
You know, he had his moments, but you know, at the same time, like, he had moments that he looked like a young kid playing in the playoffs in the American League for the first time, and that's not a knock on him. That's to be expected. He still made some really good plays. His hand eye and, you know, like, hockey IQ, how he can read the play. It's amazing how many times he knocks pucks down through the middle, whether it's in the O zone, neutral zone, or D zone. And you saw him do that in Vancouver as well. So, like, his anticipation, you can see where all of his skill is, and where, you know, when he has his little bursts and he gets to use his shot. He had one that you could tell he wasn't overly happy with. It ended up kind of going a little bit more chest than over the, you know, towards the elbow that he was probably aiming more so at. But again, like, you see that release, and like, he'll keep figuring it out as he goes along. Like, the thing that's good in Abbotsford as well is, you know, you obviously have Manny Malhotra and the rest of the coaching staff that have done a great job, but they have some really good veterans down there that, you know, whether at the NHL or American League level, have played playoffs and been through stretch runs and in the playoffs and all of that, so they can keep helping those young guys along.
You know, the other player that's really more on the veteran category, but he's really been huge for Abbotsford as they've gone on this this second half run, and that's Sammy Blais. He had two goals last night as well. And now here's a guy who's a Stanley Cup champion with the St. Louis Blues in 2019, and because of injury and other reasons, you know, his career's ended up in the AHL. But he's really come on here lately for this club.
It's funny because, you know, like, first, like, I'm just so happy to see him back and playing really well. Like, you know, he's an old teammate of mine in his rookie year, and I really enjoyed, you know, the short time that we had together. He's a great kid, and, you know, to see him all these years later and watching him last night, like, you know, Tucson's got some really big guys. Like, you know, Douglas is 6'7", a forward that, you know, he can move around and all of that. But yet, like, Sammy Blais looked like a man amongst boys last night. Like, the way that he can protect pucks and stand over it and, you know, be able to really read the play and see what's going on. Like, he made a bunch of really, really nice plays in tight, using his size and strength to muscle pass guys and create opportunities. But, you know, like, he has a beautiful power play goal or slapper that he puts on the, you know, above the blocker. And then the next one, Sasson, you know, makes a nice pass that ends up getting deflected, but he's Blais able to find the rebound. Like, again, it's what I remember of him as a player, like, using all of that physical size that he has and really putting it to use to open up space for his line mates.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, you wouldn't be looking to see if he can translate back to the National Hockey League next season, whether that's in Vancouver or elsewhere. I did also want to kind of get your thoughts on a guy like Atu Ratu, who did acquit himself really well, of course, with the Canucks, and we're looking at him as potentially being somebody who can play down the lineup and maybe grow into a bigger role. How did you think he looked in playoff action?
I thought he looked good, and, you know, like, he's a guy to me that, whether he's in the NHL or he's in the American League, like, you're going to get the same type of game. And I mean that in a very good sense. Like, he's reliable. You know that you're going to get, you know, max effort out of him. He, you know, he does the same thing last night in the game that he does in Vancouver when he was up. He, you know, he gets in on a forecheck. He's good in the faceoff dot. He can, you know, especially we saw it more in the, you know, in the back half of his games in Vancouver, of, you know, starting to make those small area plays. Like, he, and that to me is just, you know, confidence and just building some comfort in your new situation. And then he goes back to Abbotsford and continues to do that and be a big part of that team. Like, his line with Baines and Lekkomäki last night, like, you know, they weren't, you know, all over the score sheet, but they provided a lot of offense. Baines and his speed was very evident, especially early, caused a couple penalties to be drawn, and Ratu was there to go out and make some plays as well. So, you know, again, like, it was a good night for Abbotsford as a team, but for, you you know, if you're just looking at really the Canucks prospects, like it was a really good first playoff game for them.
Landon Ferraro, our guest, and you know, we wonder about the situation with the Vancouver Canucks. Obviously, the head coaching job is still sort of up in the air as you know, the contract negotiations continue to go on with the club and Rick Tocchet, and we're supposed to get some sort of an answer at some point this week, but that hasn't yet happened, as we know. But leaving that aside, we do know Manny Malhotra might be, will probably be at least a candidate to take over the vacancy should it become available, should they not be able to come to an agreement with Rick Tocchet. What do you make of the job that Manny Malhotra has done as a first-year AHL head coach?
You know, I mean, you talk to some of the guys that have, you know, been playing down there, and you know, I talked to, you know, my buddy Justin Pogge, who's the goalie coach down there, and everyone has the same thing and to say about him, and it's exactly what I would kind of, you know, I would assume just from knowing Manny a little bit from training with him years ago, and that's, you know, a very detail oriented, but a guy that's, you know, he's a very good communicator. But the thing with Manny is, you know, like he cares so much. He's so dedicated to the game, just like he was when he played. He has the utmost respect and really understands, you know, like how, you know, how privileged of a position he was in to get to play that long and have the career that he did. And then he's, you know, he's moved on to the coaching side and had a pretty good run. And now he's, you know, got his chances ahead in Abbotsford, and he's continued to, you know, be the same type of person that shows up and gives an honest effort, and the guys can relate to that and can respect that. Like, you know, just like you hear all those stories of Brenda Moore in Carolina and the gym and stuff, like, well, that's Manny. Like, Manny's in the gym every single day. Like, the young guys are seeing him in there. He's got the rest of the coaching staff going. Like, it's a good environment that he's built.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's one of those guys who is likely to be an NHL coach at some point, just not quite sure exactly when that is going to be. But obviously, the big topic of conversation in Vancouver this week, outside of the whole uncertainty around Rick Tocchet, has been what Jim Rutherford said about Quinn Hughes and his future. It was pretty jarring hearing him say what he said, and I know he was joking about the whole, you know, Hughes brothers thing, and ultimately the NHL decided not to fine him for tampering over it, but that. What was your takeaway from the honesty in which, you know, Rutherford spoke about Quinn Hughes and his future in Vancouver?
It's one of the reasons, you know, I like, you know, listening to Jim Rutherford so much. Of, you know, other than just being a very good hockey mind, you know, he's not afraid to throw a comment out once in a while that, you know, catches you off guard. But, you know, to me, it's one of those, especially with this situation, like, he just said what everyone else thinks, right? Like, it's no secret that if you got three brothers and two are already playing together, you know, the third brother's probably want to go and have that experience as well, whether that's here or there, right? So, like, it's not like it's this big secret. The fact that he would say it out loud is obviously a little bit of a different scenario, but I don't know. Like, I like the honesty, especially at the end of a, you know, a longer press conference after an extremely long year. The fact that he can just, you know, he just says what's on his mind. He's like, I'm done kind of, you know, kind of tiptoeing around this. Like, these are the facts. Like, it is what it is. We all we can do is what's in our control, and you know, that's kind of an option.
And they really, you know, for anybody that says they love to hear a plan from the front office, I mean, they gave you the plan. They're trading for a center, and they're going for it as they try to make sure they put this team in position to be able to keep Quinn Hughes and put them in position to, you know, show Quinn Hughes that he can win here in Vancouver. And ultimately, that means probably on a short time frame, and it means they're going to be making some moving and shaking happening this off season. And it's, I get where people are somewhat timid about paying a big price, having to pay a big prospect or whatever it might be. But ultimately, you look at this Canucks roster, Landon, and it's pretty obvious where they need help, and it's at the top of the roster, and it's certainly down the middle.
Yeah, and just like Rutherford said, like, it's going to be expensive. And, you know, like, it is a good thing to protect your assets and your draft picks and all of that. But at some point, like, you need players for now. You can't always be worried about the future. And if you need, especially it's one thing if you're like, you know, okay, we need a couple bottom six, you know, even a center or a couple wingers, like, we can go find that in free agency. But if it's not there for the upper half, and especially, you know, a top line center, you know, like, that is the life in the NHL. Like, you're going to have to pay a premium for it. And especially if you don't want just, you know, a middle run of a, you know, top two center. Like, if you want that kind of top echelon, that next group, like, it just is what it is. And I understand the hesitation of giving that up, but at the same time, if, like, you can't worry about right now and trying to be good and making sure Quinn Hughes is happy and be worried about draft picks for, you know, 3 years down the line.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the big thing. And, you know, the way Rutherford phrased it as well was, even if they were good, if Quinn wants to go play with his brothers, there may not be anything they mm-hmm. can do about it. So there's only so much they can actually control here. And obviously we want it to be aggressive, but at the same time, I think, do you have to be somewhat careful about how far you're going when you don't have certainty about keeping the player long term?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the fact that, you know, just again, like, just like Rutherford said, and you just kind of referenced, of like, it might not be up to money. Like, you know, I've never got the sense from the, you know, the little interaction that I've had with Quinn Hughes of that he's a guy that's all about the money, right? Like, he cares about the hockey, he cares about his craft, and, you know, he just knows, like, I'm going to make enough money that I'm not going to have to worry about that. So I can just focus on my hockey, right? So just like you said, like, if the Canucks want to throw the maximum amount of contract available at him, if that's not what he wants, if he wants to go play with his brothers, and, you know, and that's the way it shakes out, well, you have to make sure that you've still done enough around it that you have a team still here. And, you know, I think this management group has good footing on that and understand the situation that they're in, and they'll keep building, but they're always going to have that plan B talk going of, you know, if Quinn really wants to go this way, like, we have to be already prepared for what that looks like.
And a lot of this can get helped by Elias Pettersson rediscovering his game. He was such a massive part of the whole, like, locker cleanout discussion, whether it was Rick Tocchet on Friday or Elias Pettersson having to answer questions on Friday himself, and then going into Monday, hearing from Alvin and Rutherford on it. Everything's been left out in the open. They didn't close the door on a potential trade either here, Landon, but it's pretty clear the best way forward is for Elias Pettersson to just rediscover his game and probably do it in Vancouver, because I don't know how many great trade options there are going to be out there for the Vancouver Canucks.
No, the best option for the Vancouver Canucks is Elias Pettersson playing his best hockey here in a Vancouver jersey. Just like you said, like, if they end up having to trade him, like, no matter how that shakes out, you're probably not winning that. Like, you're not getting a top center back. Like, you're starting to, you're probably grabbing pieces to try and recoup and figure out another trade to, you know, try and get to the level that you were just at. So for the Canucks, like, him getting back and especially the skating part, like, being that puck transporter that he can be, will start lightening the load for Quinn Hughes. But not only that, like, you listen to Jake DeBrus talking about his year, and, you know, he has his career high in goals, but, you know, I didn't have much off the rush this year, and everything was right around the net. Well, if the center that you were brought in to play with isn't transporting the puck and isn't able to make plays through the middle and entering the zone, well, that makes it pretty tough for a shooting winger to do his job, right? So by Pettersson just getting his game back, like, it's going to open up so many other players' attributes that they just weren't able to use this year.
Landon, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for this.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
There is Landon Ferraro joins us weekly here on Canucks Central. His take on the Canucks this hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main side and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. Always interesting getting Landon's take. And hey, Abbotsford could be off to the second round pretty soon. It's been a really cool story following their ascension through the AHL this year.
Yeah, I mean, they've had quite the year, and I think the impact that Malhotra's had has a lot of people excited about the job he can do. And, you know, obviously we'll see what happens here with Rick Tocchet. I know people draw a line always mm-hmm. between the AHL and the NHL. I'm not sure it's that simple always, but he's done a really good job. And I love that image of he's working out every day and forcing the staff to work out every day too. And it's kind of hard to be a player not being in the gym if your head coach is there all the time.
Yeah, pretty much. You better follow suit because coach is in the gym as hard as anybody else. How you feeling about the NFL draft, Sat? Reports are coming out here that the Cleveland Browns might be moving down out of the number two spot here.
Yeah, apparently they don't like fun things like Travis Hunter. So
why take the best player in the draft?
You know why? Yeah.
Well, why pass on the best player in the draft when you can potentially take him?
Well, you can get more Magic Beans.
Loud Titans fan, who cares about all this? Cam season, baby, let's go! Titans have the first overall pick and are expected to take Cam Ward, the quarterback, best available quarterback in this year's draft. Travis Hunter, the offensive and defensive dynamo, is expected to go number two to the Cleveland Browns, should that stay put.
Yes, that's what it looks like. We'll see if that actually does happen, so we'll try to keep a close eye on it over the next hour or so.
I just I like when Sack gets mad about the Browns.
I'm trying to be calm.
Trying to poke the bear a little bit.
No, yeah, especially the setting we're at. I'm trying to remain calm.
Fair enough. We've got lots coming up. We've got lots coming up in the second hour. We're here at the Vancouver Aquarium, the site of the third annual Prairie Naturals Men's Health Gala, and we're going to get more into that coming up next on Canucks Central. We're back on Canucks Central. It's Dan Riccio, Sat T.R. Shaw here in the mobile Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Got lots going on here as we are at the the Prairie Naturals Men's Health Gala, and getting ready for tonight. Sat and I are emceeing the event. A lot of good things happening. We're going to have Trevor Linden coming up in just a little bit, and also joining us right now, the president of the Canadian Men's Health Foundation, Kenton Boston, joining us. And we also have Sachin Lati joining us, who's about to embark on a run across Canada. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen.
Pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
This is a great event. We'll start with you, Kenton. Canadian Men's Health Foundation, you know, us being a couple of guys in sports, we know how important this this can be, and how, as guys, we tend to leave our health, somewhere over here, but not as a main priority often enough.
It's true. I often say sometimes we need the other half in our lives, the women, daughters, mothers, wives beside us, to be like, can you help that guy out? And that's some of the most emotional conversations I have. Guys are guys, and we all play in that club, and it's the families, and that's a big part of our organization and what we want to do to make sure that we help women and families by helping the guys, and that's really critical right now.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that throughout the evening, especially tonight. And Sachin, we got to introduce you, and also you tell us about your journey you're about to embark on coming up on Father's Day.
Yep.
You're going to take a journey across the country in over 75 days, 7,500 clicks from one side of the nation to another side of the nation, the first person of color to do so. What inspired you, and what brought you down the path to do this amazing feat?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. So I was in law enforcement for 18 years, and like many people, many men, we don't address our mental health. And about 5-6 years ago, I struggled a great deal with my mental health. Severe anxiety, severe depression, ended up having a major depressive episode, which precipitated me going to see physicians, doctors, the whole nine yards. And through that process, I started I was trying to figure out how to help myself. So I started running. And running wasn't a thing I did. I was a bodybuilder, jiu-jitsu guy. And I started at the age of 42. I'm 47 now. And I started real small. And as I started doing, you know, training and running and doing little things, I had no plan to run across the country at that time. I was just trying to do something to help myself. And I just started seeing how that was helping me, how I was engaging with physical activity, and then through physical activity, connecting with more people. And, you know, within a short order, in about a year, I thought, okay, I'm at a certain place now. Maybe I can do something to help other people. Mm-hmm. And I ran 100 kilometers from Chilliwack to YVR, November 2021, and raised $21,000 for the BC Yukon Legion to support veterans and first responders with PTSD. And that's kind of what started the journey.
And your goal is now to raise $1 million, which is pretty crazy. We'll get more into that. But, you know, somebody who's not the biggest runner, but I've gotten more into it lately as well. I've done some little things like the Vancouver Sun Run 10 kilometers, which is like peanuts for you. Right? It's 7,500 kilometers. But, like, just the simple act of getting outside and just focusing your brain on that and taking in the sun, whatever it might be, that simple act can do so much to just clear my mind and just set me up for a better day.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. Like today I went out for a run and it was beautiful out.
Yeah.
I didn't even put my headphones on. And there's a reason why I didn't put my headphones on, because I wanted to hear the birds. Mm-hmm. I wanted to hear the ocean, because I live in White Rock. Mm. And so little things like that kind of really bring you into the moment. So it's not just the physical activity, but it's almost like a spiritual activity if you're actually doing it the right way.
That makes total sense. And Kenton, I mean, you look at Sachin as the ultimate success story. And unfortunately, it's not always successful. Going through a major depressive episode can be really difficult. And we talk about the 75% of suicide deaths in Canada are amongst men. This is very difficult for men. But it's hard for people to go as far as Sachin did and is going. Yeah. But that's what you're trying to get people to look at and be inspired by.
It's true. We have great success in a campaign called Don't Change Much. And it talks about your food. It talks about exercise, that says you don't have to go to the gym for an hour and pump heavy rocks. Walk around. We had a campaign we'll have again in June called Park Like a Dad. Mm. And if your dad went to a mall or went to a Canadian Tire and parked so that his car didn't get scratched maybe back in the day. And that's kind of our campaign. And that was our campaign that we've had other summers, and it will come back again, that says park like a dad, park in the far corner of Home Depot, not so your car doesn't get scratched, but so that you can do the steps coming in. And that's huge. Mm-hmm. And we know on the mental side of the equation that simple movement is one of the biggest things. It does make you happy in the sense of making more optimistic. We have great researchers that work with us, and they talk about the key in the one word is resilience. And if you can live in that space and kind of generate that resilience, if you think about moments where you feel really strong, things have accomplished for you, or things have come together for you, you kind of that feeling of accomplishment, sometimes it's something as simple as that and as difficult as that is, which, as we all know, that's a real challenge, certainly in today's environment of stress related to politics. The next president of, and we'll leave it there, the economy and so forth, we just find that it's really driving all of us. And so we are trying to respond by working with people like Sachin. And thank you, Sachin, for the things that you are doing to raise awareness, to make sure that all of us understand that we're in this together and we collectively can make a difference. And there's one tag, and you'll see that in a campaign coming up soon. And the tagline is, we're not alone, you're not alone. And that's the bottom line. And sometimes guys aren't the most prolific when it comes to talking and sharing ideas. We can talk about scores, Canucks,
right.
But maybe not to say I feel really crappy today because of me personally. And that's our challenge as guys.
Yeah. Well, we tend to have, like, what, two emotions? We're mad or we're fine. Right? Like, we're not anything else. We're either mad or we're fine. We go take a walk. We mow the lawn, whatever it might be, or we're fine. And there's not a lot of, like, in between or anything else. There's no sad. It's just matter of fact.
It's true. So what Sachin is doing to raise awareness and build this, and that's what we will help build, is this kind of national campaign to get people across the country involved. And as he's going across, that he has the support in communities across the country. And that's what we're really excited about, what Sachin is doing, but the impact for all of us.
Well, and obviously when you're doing something along these lines, you're also going to be raising a lot of money. The goal to raise $1 million for mental health initiatives. And I know people can donate by going to sachinmotion.ca and also going to auction.prairienaturals.ca to find more ways to donate and really help out. But that money can go a really long way in this situation.
100%, man. So I've been at this kind of for about 3-4 years, raising awareness and funds in my own little way. And we've, you know, on my own, just running, you know, various different challenges that I've imposed upon myself, we've raised about $80,000. And, you know, that's as an individual without really getting a ton of support externally. But before, you know, as I was leading up to this run across Canada, because my whole vision was to run across Canada 5 years ago, I just didn't really voice it out to too many people. But now I'm at a level and stage where my body and mind is ready to take on this endeavor. And the whole goal is to be able to engage with as many people as possible so we can create that awareness and that momentum across the country. So it's not just a physical endeavor. This is a movement that we're trying to create where everyone across the country can come together, galvanize around a common goal, which is mental health support. You know, people have been mentioning Terry Fox a lot. And yeah. Terry Fox is a massive inspiration for me. And he did something 40 years ago, raised awareness for cancer research. Well, the way I see it, our modern-day cancer is a mental health crisis. So if we can do something to help as many people as possible, and not just from a mental health perspective, but from a collective society perspective, it really feels like our country's kind of divided. And if we can do something to bring people together, well, man, I'll do play my little part to do that, right? So.
How do you train for 7,500 kilometers? Like, I can't even begin to think where that starts.
Well, it started in 2020.
Yeah.
I wasn't a runner, man.
Yeah.
I could barely run 5K.
Yeah.
I could barely run 5K. I'm probably about 175 pounds right now, 5'9", maybe 5'8" on a good day.
Yeah.
And you know, I can now, I'm running about 200, 250 kilometers a week in training. So I'm running about 20 to 25 hours a week. And the goal is, when I'm running across the country, is not just to run across the country, but to inspire people what's humanly possible. You know, 5 years ago, I wasn't a runner, man.
Yeah.
And most people who have run across the country or who set the record to run the fastest run across the country have been ultra marathoners their entire life. I just picked this up 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so, but having said that, I've invested my entire existence into this. And I'll be running approximately 100 kilometers every single day for 75 days. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that, but that's also the, it'll probably be the top 3 to 4 fastest ones across the country.
Yeah.
And I'll be the 16th person to do it. And like you said earlier, the first person of color. So it's, you know, raising awareness, mental health, and also inspiring people to do something that they maybe never thought they could do.
Yeah, and I know that inspiration is going to obviously go a long way, and we're really going to resonate here tonight, and also here tonight, the gala is brought to you by Prairie Naturals, and go to the auction site, like I mentioned, auction.prairienaturals.ca, and how important is it to drive funds here for this initiative, and also what people can find on the website.
Huge. Go to the website. There's lots of things that are not exorbitant, so I will say they're accessible. It just takes a couple of dollars, and this is really about saving the lives of men, and that's what we do, and we have the statistics, the back that up. And as we refer to Trevor as one of our key champions, Trevor Linden, and what he does in the physical fitness and what you are doing when it comes to running across the country, we know that that's one of our most successful campaigns is just to get active. And Trevor is great at creating these videos to do very basic things that are not so basic in nature, but it's about just getting moving. And that's the kind of thing that we're really looking for, more funds to continue to expand these programs. And to what we were just talking about, the crisis that is affecting men right now, it's enormous. 75% of suicides are coming from men. We're winning that game, sadly. And so we find right now there's a lot of conversation around tradespeople. We know the opioid crisis, 30 to 50% are coming from the trades. And we know that there's a large, not all men, obviously, but a lot of men. And so these are the types of things now we're trying to move our resources and create more resources, more information, more stories, more podcasts, and more programs so we can make sure that people starting their careers, if you think about that age when you're starting out life and you're getting things together, am I going to get married, what's it with kids, and all those things in my career, that's going to be a real driver for us the remainder of 2025 into 26. They need our help, and that's a big part for donations tonight.
And I do think awareness is big, too, because you could be sad, but you may not even really realize it, how sad you might actually be, and maybe that's something that you experienced, Satch.
Oh, 100%, man. I was 5 years ago, I was probably the saddest person you could even look at. I was going through a divorce. I was financially strapped. Was dealing with work issues, various different things affected me in the workplace. So pretty much, and then the pandemic.
Yeah.
So everything kind of culminated all at the same time. I could have been that 75% had it not been for a few really cool people around me and me taking action to help myself. And I was very fortunate. Not everyone's that fortunate. And, you know, what the Canadian Men's Health Foundation is doing can provide a service to people so that they don't have to be that next person that might be a statistic. So I'm extremely grateful and pleased to partner with the Canadian Men's Health Foundation for my run across country, because you know, the funds that we do raise, a good portion of that will go towards them, and to help a great number of people across the country. So I understand everything when it comes to being depressed and sad.
And you raise a really good point, and that is sometimes we get down the road of counseling and need to go see a counselor. We know that that's a difficult thing sometimes, and sometimes it's just about communicating, finding your group of friends, and making sure you have the friends, the way you just said, Sach. And that's hugely important, and that's a big part of what we're trying to also educate people, that says it doesn't always have to be difficult. Mm-hmm. It can be simple in nature, too.
You can check out Sach in Motion at .ca. That's S-A-C-H in motion.ca to get a donation there, raising $1 million for mental health initiatives. And the run begins on Father's Day, June 16th. So we'll be cheering you on across the country.
Appreciate you.
As you go on your run. Sach Inlati and Kenton Boston of the Canadian Men's Health Foundation as well. Thanks so much for joining us, gentlemen. We'll see you throughout the night.
Pleasure. Thanks a lot, bud.
There they are. And again, the auction is also ongoing right now. Silent auction available at the website. Auction.prairienaturals.ca is where you can get in on the silent auction for tonight. And again, as it says, 70% of men's health problems can be prevented by adopting healthy lifestyles. And I think we're both very much in that category, Sat. You know, I know the gym is big for you to really get yourself in a good place, and you know, running's been my escape lately as well. So it's just doing a couple of little things can really go a long way.
Yeah, and you know, the whole point of getting out in nature too, going for walks, you know, and if you can, even if it's by the water or walking by some trees or whatever it is, some green space, it just helps, right? And I get talking to somebody is not always easy, but you know what you can always do is put your shoes on and get out and go for a walk, right? And those things go a long way. And I know there are days where you're frustrated about something or you don't feel like working out or whatever, but go for a walk, you usually feel a bit better.
Yeah.
And it's just taking small steps. And obviously, sometimes you have to take bigger ones, but it begins with just doing the most simple of things, and that's sometimes just going for a walk outside.
Exactly. It can help so much, especially now that the weather's great. It just makes that much of a difference, and the vitamin D really it can do a tremendous healing things for everybody, not just men.
Yeah, good text from our friend Mike, the urologist from Brockville. As a physician who deals with men's health, really happy to see the promotion of the entire of men's health, physical and mental. Men so often downplay the importance of their health short-term and long-term. Normalizing men taking pride in being healthy is underrated. That's a good text from Mike, the urologist.
Yeah, it's truly is, man. We don't like to talk about our feelings.
No.
it's as simple as that. All right, going on in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now, the Florida Panthers with a 1-0 lead, still holding on to that Nate Schmidt goal with the Florida Panthers, third of the postseason for him. Senators have a goal from Claude Giroux, and they lead the Maple Leafs 1-0 as they are trying to get back into this series.
Yeah, and well, I mean, do you think they can? I mean, obviously they can. Do you think they will?
It's been a tight series, pretty much. I know the first game kind of got out of hand scoreline wise, but game two, I know, you know, Travis Green was all about, you know, saying that he felt they on the deserve to win a meter, maybe that the Senators had the better of the game. I thought it was pretty even, and one of those games that you could cut with a knife, and it would pretty much go either way, and end up being the Leafs winning in overtime for game two. Yeah. Ultimately, I just don't think that the Sens are ready. They haven't shown me yet that they are ready to make the kind of impact, the upset that they need to beat the Maple Leafs.
No, I don't think they are. Not yet. But can we take a detour for a second?
Sure.
The Browns have traded the second overall pick.
Oh, my goodness. They didn't.
Yeah, they did. To the Jacksonville Jaguars. So 2-5.
Well, that's, you know, I'd say the Jags are one of those smart teams that do great things all the time.
Yeah,
but
I suppose.
It's not really.
Except for, like, win football games.
It's not really the Jags' reputation either.
No. So, I mean, I don't know what the Browns are up to. They're not getting Travis Hunter. They're not getting Abdul Carter. They're not getting Cam Ward, who went first overall to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the Browns are doing. I'm back to being clueless as a Browns fan, which is somewhere I'm very familiar.
So
being,
for...
You know, like, especially with all the talk today about mental health.
Yeah.
I'm breathing. I'm outside. We can hear the birds chirping.
Yes.
Like, I see green space. Like, this is actually helping me stay sane
this
right now.
This is helping Sat stay... Yeah. Stay as positive as possible around the Browns.
Good things will happen.
Well, I guess, you know, one of the things you can look at, I guess they're getting a 2026 first rounder from Jacksonville.
Are they?
Yeah.
Is that what they're saying?
Apparently. That's what some of the early reports are.
Well, if they're getting extra first, that's not bad.
If that first could be in the top 10 again, maybe you know, push it down a year where there's a better quarterback class to next year.
You can trade. I mean, Basketball Phil is asking if it's tanking for Arch Manning. Well, if you have a 2 first now next year,
then maybe you either have the ammo to trade up to one, or you know, you extend the slump a little longer because of how poorly it's worked out with Deshaun Watson.
I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm not sure the Browns roster is bad enough. But who knows? As a Browns fan,
drafting second overall, how could they not be bad enough?
It was a really bad year. I'm just not. I mean, you're right though. It's one of those things. That's what I said. I can't believe I'm saying this, but yeah.
So the Browns received the 5th overall pick, the 36th overall pick, and a 2026 first round pick as well as a 4th round pick.
Oh, so Jags did also get a couple picks. Oh, the Browns did receive this year's 2nd round pick too.
Well, yeah,
that's not bad. So, I mean, that's actually, you know what? Like they went down 3 spots. They got a 1st, a 2nd, mm-hmm. and a 4th.
But they won't get Travis Hunter.
Yeah, and all.
You cannot fake the disappointment that you just heard in Sat's voice right now.
You're hiding it pretty well, though. I'm proud of you.
I'm trying, man. I don't think this is a setting for me to start freaking out. You know what I mean?
Fair. And it's not a video, so
we're
what's
in public.
The point? Yeah.
We're in public.
No one will trade out of
if we're in the studio right now.
Yeah.
It would have been a good clip.
Well, yeah. You should have seen me at home yesterday watching the Blue Jays. No one will trade out of one next year with a chance to draft Archie. That's like trading the first when you can draft Andrew Luck.
It's like I had one balloon left and that one just got popped too.
Yeah. I mean, hey. Obviously. The Chargers had to trade Eli Manning, so wouldn't be the first Manning to be like, nah, I don't want to play there.
Well, that's what it's going to take. But, yeah, he's going to come to Cleveland. Yeah.
I don't want to go there. I want to go to Cleveland. Yeah. What? I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, that's where I want to go to.
Can you say that again?
Well, I know the Haslams and the Mannings are tight. Maybe that's the whole thing, you know.
Maybe that's it. But Sat, trying to stay positive about the Browns as they do their own Kevin Costner draft day in real life.
Where's David Putney?
Right now. That's what's happening in the NFL.
Well, the Jags are also the draft. Mark team in the
yes, they are.
In draft day. They traded the 5th or 6th overall pick for 3 or 4 seconds or whatever it was. Nobody's giving you that pick for 4 seconds.
So a couple of things on last night's Stanley Cup playoffs. We talked about the Oilers earlier. The Stars are up 2-1 in the series over the Avs without Miro Heiskanen or Jason Robertson having played a game in this series. Are you surprised at how the Stars have taken a 2-1 series lead?
I am, especially with how like they've been the better team.
Like they're not like goalieing Colorado.
No, they're not. They're
carrying play more often.
They are, and they're using their speed, and they're playing with a lot of determination. I am very impressed with how they're playing, especially with that Miro being in the lineup. And that was a huge win. I thought, hey, getting the split for Colorado is big, especially if they could win Game 3 at home. But this is going to be a long series.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be a long one. We haven't seen McKinnon really go off yet in any of these games. Maybe game one, Mikko Rantanen hasn't had too much of an impact, but he did have an assist on the Tyler Seguin OT winner yesterday. And I know Haskinen's, you know, he traveled with Dallas, so we'll see if he plays. But, you know, the fact that you're up 2-1 in this series without Miro Haskinen, Stars got to be feeling pretty good about themselves. Habs lost to Washington yesterday, and really it was because of Sam Montembeau more than anything else. And I guess the biggest story there is Patrick Laine getting benched. And honestly, Sat, like, what a drop-off it's been for Patrick Laine. He looks – he's so stiff out there. He's like a board.
Yeah.
You know, and even when he was getting shooting opportunities on the power play, it just seems like he was fanning on all of them. So it's just he almost caused a shorthanded goal as well. And he's just not as engaged as you want a player to be in the postseason.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you see his game has fallen off so far from where it was. We look at Pettersson's game this year. Like, there are some guys whose games have really fallen off. And the other guy we talked about a bit before, but with the Carolina Hurricanes, Svechnikov, like you look at his goal scoring and point scoring the last few years, like it's really fallen off. It's kind of odd where all these like really talented high-end players all of a sudden are like losing their mojo. And I mean, with Laine, I know he's been very honest about other things going on in his life and the mental health struggle he's had too. And you just wonder sometimes when he's struggling, are other things going on that make it harder for him? Right?
Yeah, he had a tough, and we'll see if he ends up in the lineup come game three. We'll keep an eye on the Stanley Cup playoffs. Trevor Linden is going to join us next, as well as we continue here on Sportsnet 650. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by BC Liquor. Until April 26th, get $5 off Donna Paula Malbec or $3 off Neutral Vodka Soda Lime 12 packs. Visit your nearest BC Liquor location today. Enjoy responsibly. You are listening to Sportsnet 650.